Read it.
Our text this morning is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Titus, of course, is in the New Testament, and it's sandwiched in between 2 Timothy and Philemon. Paul is writing to Titus, a church planter, you might say, in Crete. Paul is writing to Titus, and he is telling him in the first chapter to nominate qualified elders, nominate different leaders of the church, become an organized congregation, much like yourselves, as you are about to celebrate being recognized as a formal congregation and no longer a church plant. We say praise God for that. And in Titus chapter 1, he goes from talking about elders to those who are harmful to the church, and then in chapter 2, he talks about those who are in the church, people like yourselves, people like myself. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of your Lord remains forever. All of you, clean the kitchen. These are the words that I would hear from my mother as a child almost every night. We would finish eating, and my siblings and I would scramble from the table, and my mother would say, "No, no, clean the kitchen." She would say to me, "Aaron, it's your job to wash the dishes." To another sibling, she would say, "It's your job to put those dishes away." To yet another, she would say, "Stop pretending you're sick and get over here and sweep the floor." We all had different tasks, but we were all united under one task, which was to clean the kitchen. And in our text, Paul is telling you that in every area of your life, you are called to holiness. You are called to adorn the doctrines of God. But how you adorn the doctrines of God is going to look very different as an older man than it would for a younger woman. Paul is instructing Titus to teach the truth, not to be like the Cretans who were insubordinate, who were empty talkers, who had empty heads and empty minds. He's telling Titus, no, you cannot be that way. You have sound doctrine, and sound doctrine must lead to ethical conduct. What is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is the gospel. Sound doctrine is God becoming a man in the person of Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine is Jesus' active obedience, living the life that you never could. Sound doctrine is Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. Sound doctrine is Jesus rising from the dead. Sound doctrine is the justification that he accomplished for you, for the imputation of his righteousness to you and your sinfulness to himself. Sound doctrine is sanctification. It is growing in holiness. Sound doctrine is glorification, becoming perfect at the great resurrection. Sound doctrine must lead to ethical conduct. We're Reformed Presbyterian. Reformed Presbyterians are known for their love of doctrine. We love exclusive psalmody. We love to read systematic theologies. We love to read R.C. Sproul books and discuss church and government. But if all we love is doctrine and not holiness, then perhaps we are strolling along a truth-paved path to hell. Maybe you don't love doctrine. Maybe you're not a theology person. Maybe you just say it's all about moral behavior. Well, if that's you, then you stroll a morally well-behaved path to hell. You see, we need both. We need sound doctrine, and we need holy living. And these are the things that Paul is telling Titus, that Paul is telling you. You must live in accordance with sound doctrine. You must adorn the doctrines of God. What does it mean to adorn the doctrine of God? Think of it this way. Think of it how you would think about wearing jewelry. Some of us wear necklaces or earrings or wedding rings or wristwatches. Those pieces of jewelry are to enhance our beauty. You are not the gospel. Your life is not the gospel. But you are to adorn the gospel. You are to live in such a way that makes the gospel look beautiful. That makes the gospel look attractive. Paul addresses five different categories of people. Five different categories that are represented here in this room today. He addresses older men, older women, younger men, and bondservants, or employees. He starts with the older men. Notice verse 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, and love, and in steadfastness. Paul starts with the older men because, as Paul understands it, it is the older men who are generally the leaders of society. It is generally the older men who are the leaders of the church, who are the leaders of the family, who are the leaders and pace setters of the culture. Paul starts with the older men because, as older men, as leaders, if you are not dignified in your behavior, if you are not sound in your faith, if you are not adorning the doctrines of God, your leadership is compromised. Leadership with reckless behavior does not breed health. So notice, he says, older men, you are to be sober-minded. Now, of course, we can think of it as not being a drunkard, and of course it is that. But it's more than that. Older men, you are to think well. You are to have the mind of Christ as you consider different ideological beliefs, different political beliefs, different theological beliefs. You are to have the mind of Christ. You are to be dignified in your behavior. You are to have a sound and balanced approach to life that invites respect from others. You are to be composed when you face difficult situations. You are not to let loose to your emotions as you deal with difficult people or difficult things. You are to be dignified in your behavior. And again, you are to model the behavior of Christ. If people were to model their behavior after you, it ought to be as if they are modeling their behavior after Jesus. You are to be self-controlled. You are not, older men, to be a slave to your passions. You are to be in control of your emotions, in control of your thoughts, and in control of your actions. You are to be sound in the faith. Now, what happens if you are not sound in the faith? Well, if you look back in chapter 1, Paul is talking about the Cretans who are not sound in the faith, who are claiming to be godly, but because they're unsound in their faith, they are empty-minded, empty-headed, and ungodly. Being sound in the faith keeps you from unholy belief, and it keeps you from unholy behavior. You are to be steadfast. You are to have endurance and to finish the fight. High school students go through 4 years of high school. Their freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, and senior year. By the time they get to their senior year, and some of you may be there today, you're exhausted because you've been working hard. You've been studying hard. You've got good grades. High school students face what's called senioritis, where they get 3 to 4 weeks away from graduation. They've got A's in their classes, and they say, okay, if I don't do these particular assignments, that's going to drop my grade down to maybe a B minus, but I still pass. That's okay. It's called senioritis. Older men, you don't get to have senioritis. You may say, I have been faithful to the Lord. I have served the church well. I have served my family well. I want to relax. not necessarily do anything ungodly, but not advance the kingdom. And the Lord is saying, you don't get to have that. You must be steadfast. Older men, you are to act as leaders. You are to be sound in the faith. You are to be sound in both belief and in practice. Likewise, verse 3, older women. So you may be thinking, okay, we have five different categories of people. We have older men, older women, and so on. Why do we differentiate between the different responsibilities that they have? Consider a lawnmower and a weed whacker, if you will. What's the difference between a lawnmower and a weed whacker? We're in the spring season. It's raining nonstop. Your lawns are very tall. You're using both of these pieces of equipment. What's the difference? Functionally, nothing. They're both designed to cut grass. However, how they operate is very different. One you push, one you hold. One is to cover a larger area, the other is to cover more detailed areas. In the same way, men and women and various ages, their function, their goal is the same, holiness. How it looks is different. Verse 3. Likewise, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women. And we'll pick up there later. Older women, you are called to be reverent in your behavior. Your actions are to be a manifestation of your inner character. This term, reverent in behavior, is priestess-like language. And this may seem strange to us because we're Protestants. We don't have priests. We don't have priestesses. But the language, what Paul is getting at, is saying, as a priestess is always ready to serve in the temple, so you older women are to always be ready to serve the church. You are not to be slanderers. What is a slanderer? A slanderer is someone who degrades someone with their words. It's someone who gossips. There are good types of gossips and there are bad types of gossips. By good types of gossips, I mean talking about things that aren't necessarily immoral or that aren't necessarily degrading to someone. You're just speaking about so-and-so who did such-and-such. Did you hear about so-and-so's boy? They got a job here. That's good kind of gossip. However, we must be very careful how we use our words. Because even that quote-unquote good type of gossip can lead to slander. Think of how we offer prayer requests. Did you hear that so-and-so's marriage is struggling? We really should pray for them. Be careful that you don't accidentally slip into slander. You are not to be slaves to much wine. Paul puts these two hand in hand, because with much wine comes much words, and with much words comes much slander. One commentator on this passage says this: talkativeness is a disease of women, and it is increased by old age. Now I'm seeing some faces. My same reaction. I would like to say this. Talkativeness is a gift of women that can mutate into a disease, that can mutate into slander, that can mutate into evil. Rather, as you are gifted with talkativeness, what does the Lord call you to do with your words? He calls you to build up the next generation. He calls you to invest in the younger women. He calls you to teach them how to be mothers, to teach them how to be wives. We see this in verse 4. As an older woman, you may look at some of the younger women and you may think, they have it all together. When I was their age, I was a mess. But look at them. They're well-dressed, they're well-behaved, their kids are well-behaved. What do I have to offer them? So much. You have so much to offer the younger generation. So much experience and so much wisdom. Teach them, older women, teach the younger women how to lovingly and godly discipline their children. Teach them how to manage their household well. Be there for them when they're struggling with raising their children. Be there for them when they're struggling to have children. Be there for them when they have a husband who does not love them like he should. Older women, be there for the younger women. As you teach the younger women how to be faithful wives and how to be faithful mothers, it is as if you are handing them a cast iron skillet. Now, why do I say cast iron skillet? Is that because you're a woman and you cook? No. Cast iron skillets are known for getting better with age, for getting better with use. As you cook in a cast iron skillet, the flavors from the meat transfer over into the next thing that you put in it. So as you're frying up bacon and you're done with the bacon, don't pour the bacon grease out. Put the eggs in the bacon grease, and then you've got bacon-flavored eggs. Everyone wins. As you invest older women and the younger women, it is as if you're handing them your bacon grease. The next passage, verse 4, switches from older women to younger women. And so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Is this passage only for married women and only for women with children? No. No, it's not. Primarily, it's focusing on the domestic sphere of life, yes. However, it talks about being pure and being kind and being patient. These are things that you can do whether you're married and have children or not. But since this is focusing specifically on the domestic sphere, that's where we will put our attention. Young women, you are called to love your husbands. And you might think, duh, of course I'm called to love my husband. It's easy to love your husband when you're first married. He's your Prince Charming. But the longer that you've been married, the more like a frog he becomes, the more warts that you see. Now, those warts have always been there. You just haven't seen them. They're starting to come out. And Paul is saying, love your husbands. Husbands, be easy to love. Young women, love your husbands. You may think, I'm exhausted. I'm at home all day working with the children. Or whatever it is that you're doing, I need help. I need relief. And your husband comes home, and instead of relieving you, he relieves himself, and he takes a nap. And that's a hard person to love sometimes. But Paul is saying, love your husbands. He's also saying, love your children. Now, you can take this as a rebuke. You can take this as saying, love my children, and you can feel guilty about that. And maybe you might need to. But I suggest that rather than feeling guilty about this exhortation to love your children, you should be encouraged. Because the Lord knows how difficult it is to be a mother sometimes. The Lord knows how difficult it can be sometimes to love your children. Because children are difficult. Children are annoying. My 2-year-old son woke up every hour last night, and it was annoying. But God calls you to love your children. God calls you to be self-controlled. Now, there are various aspects we can go with this idea of younger women being self-controlled, but I'd like to just focus on one. Younger women, you are to be self-controlled in your spiritual disciplines. Being a mother, being a wife, and any other responsibilities that you may have, it's very difficult to be in the Word. It can be very difficult to spend time in prayer. Be self-controlled in that. Husbands, help your wives. Help your wives in this area. When you come home, take the kids, take whatever responsibility that she has. Give her 10 minutes in her room or in the car, somewhere where she cannot be disturbed, to focus on her relationship with the Lord. Be self-controlled in your pursuit of Christ. You are to be kind. Domestic life can make one very irritable. I've spent the day with my children while my wife's gone, and I needed this reminder to be kind. Be kind. Young women, you are called to work at home. Now, we must be careful that we don't read this anachronistically, that we don't read 1940s American culture into this text. Now, that may be a fine way of living. The woman staying at home, that's fine. But think about the Proverbs 31 woman. What did she do? She raised her children well. She loved her husband well. She bought fields. She sold fields. She built up her home. And that's what you are called to do, is to build up your home. You are called to be submissive to your husband. Not submissive to every man, but submissive to your own husband. Be submissive. We can broaden this, of course, to the elders. That applies to everyone. But be submissive to your husband. Husbands, be easy to be submissive to. Be the husband that your wife wants to submit to, that takes joy and delight in submitting to. Because as you submit to your husband, you are proclaiming the glories of Christ. You are modeling Jesus. Now, how is it as you submit to your husband that you model Jesus? Think of John 17, the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying to the Father, "Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will." Jesus submitted to the Father. And as you submit to your husband, you are following the footsteps of Jesus. Verses 6 through 8. "Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." We'll focus on 7 and 8 and then swing back to 6. 7 and 8, Paul switches from talking about younger men in general to Titus specifically, or to those who desire to be church leaders specifically. There may be people in this room who desire church leadership, who desire to be an elder, who desire to be a deacon. And Paul is telling you that you are to show yourselves in all respect to be a model of good works, to have integrity in your teaching, to have dignity, and to be sound in your speech. Why? So that the world cannot condemn you. So that the world cannot condemn the church. So that the world cannot condemn or slander the bride of Christ. Looking at verse 6 now, we swing back to young men in general. "Likewise, urge the young men to be self-controlled." If you're a young woman in here, you might be thinking, hang on a second. Hang on. I got 3 verses and 7 different things to do. He gets one verse, and it's one thing, and it's the same thing that I'm called to, self-control. What kind of chauvinistic text is this? It's not. See, Paul has his thumb on the very pulse of the issue of young men. Young men, you are to be self-controlled in every area of your life. You are to be self-controlled with your eyes, with your sexuality, with the images that you look at, the videos that you watch, and the self-gratification you may partake in. The Lord is saying, be self-controlled. He's saying, be self-controlled emotionally. How easy is it, young men, to walk around, flash a smile, manipulate people into doing the things that you want them to do? Whether it's your friends, your family, a young lady, people at the workforce. Be self-controlled how you manipulate people with your emotions. You are to inspire people, not to manipulate people. You are to be self-controlled with your entertainment. You are to be self-controlled with the movies that you watch, the TV shows you watch, the books that you read, the video games that you play, the hobbies that you partake in. All of those things can glorify God. But if those things distract you from the things that the Lord is calling you to do, it is sin. Be self-controlled with your entertainment. Be self-controlled with your rest. Young man, you think you're strong. You think you can do everything. You think you don't need sleep. Or maybe you think you need too much sleep. The Lord has given a time to rest and a time to rise. Be self-controlled with your body and how you rest. You're to be self-controlled with your job. Ambitions are good. Ambitions can be from God. Working hard is good. It glorifies the Lord. But if your job and your ambitions for your job distract you from being a husband, distracts you from being a father, or distracts you from the other work that the Lord is calling you to, you must reevaluate. You must be self-controlled with your ambitions, with your job. You must be self-controlled with your family. Family is a gift of God. Love your family. Love your wife. Love your children. Do not make an idol out of them. It's easy to do. Do not make an idol out of them. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." If you have no self-control, you are exposing yourself to every kind of sin. 1 John 2:14 says this, "I write to you young men because you are strong, because the word of God abides in you, because you have overcome the evil one." If you do not have self-control, this may not be true of you. Be strong. Let the word of God abide in you. Overcome the evil one. Finally, we switch then to bondservants. Verses 9. "Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior." Now we can look at bondservants as employers or employees in our context. As someone who works, as an employer or employee, you are called to honor your employee or employer. Getting those two confused. You are to work in such a way that brings the vision of your boss to fruition. You are to be submissive to your boss. You are to be well-pleasing to your boss. You are not to be argumentative. You are not to pilfer. I currently am on staff at Second RP as the facilities manager. Before that, I was in landscaping for 13 years. And I managed a few different crews. And I had a few different guys who were less than helpful because they were argumentative. When I transitioned from that job to the job I currently have, I had some of them come and tell me, "I am so sorry for how argumentative I was." Do you realize how difficult you can be when you are so argumentative? You must be careful. You are not to pilfer. You're not to steal. Stealing from your workplace comes in various kinds, as high as stealing money to as low as stealing time. When you're working, work. Please the Lord in your work. There are two people who come to mind as faithful employees. Two people in the Old Testament. The first is Joseph. Joseph, of course, served Potiphar well. So well, in fact, that Potiphar basically gave him everything. He put him in charge of everything, and Joseph served well. Then Potiphar's wife threw herself at Joseph. And what did Joseph do, young men? He had self-control. He restrained himself, and he said, "No, I work hard for my boss. I work hard to please him." And things got difficult for him, but they worked out in the end. Another is Eliezer. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham. It was Eliezer who had been with Abraham since day one. Eliezer who served Abraham, who managed his household, who managed his flock, who managed his cattle. It was Eliezer who was in line for the inheritance that Abraham had, had Abraham not had a child. But Abraham did have a child, didn't he? And all of Abraham's inheritance went to Isaac. Now, Eliezer could have grown bitter. And perhaps we might sit here and think he had a right to. But he didn't. What did he do? He found Isaac a wife. He pleased his employer. And he pleased the Lord. All of you are to adorn the doctrines of God. Older men, you are to adorn the doctrines of God by being sound in the faith. Older women, you are to adorn the doctrines of God by being reverent in your behavior. Young women, adorn the doctrines of God by your purity, your kindness, and your domestic faithfulness, your love for your spouse and your love for your children. Young men, adorn the doctrines of God through your self-control and being a model of good works. Bondservants, adorn the doctrines of God with your godly work ethic. All of you are to adorn the doctrines of God. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We pray that you would give us the desire and the ability to live in accordance with sound faith. Lord, to adorn your doctrines. We pray that we would be faithful servants of you, that we would be faithful in every sphere of life that you've given us. In your son's name I pray. Amen. We will respond now by singing Psalm 47A, I believe. So, please rise as we sing Psalm 47A.